Okay, where are we at? Questions on assignments 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Quick review of what we've done for so far. What are the mechanisms for encapsulation? What operator do I use if I want to encapsulate something? You guys have used it and you've misused it and you've abused it. What operator? Yeah, the curly bracket. Right? If you put these in the wrong place, what error do you get? You get a lot of errors and you get really specific ones. You get those errors like interface or whatever expected and so on. Class or interface expected. Okay? What if I use these curly braces in a for loop and I create an integer in the for loop? Can I use it somewhere else in my program?
No.
In general, anything which is defined inside any level of curly braces, like there's a method curly brace, and inside it a for loop curly brace, and so on. Anything that's defined inside curly braces is limited in scope to those curly braces. They always appear in pairs. What happens when you get one of those interface expected errors? You just start adding braces, right, until it goes away. Or deleting until it goes away. Who cares? As long as it goes away. Maybe I should just leave this here for the next class that uses this room. No wonder what we were doing in here. Okay, data hiding. What's the mechanism for hiding data? Yes.
Double backslash.
Those are front slashes because I'm a Unix dude. DOS uses backslashes. That's a comment. What if I want to do data hiding? What's that mean, private? Yeah, those are called access specifiers. What are they? There are four access specifiers. Why do I only have three fingers? Because I was in a farm accident. No, why? Because one of them's invisible, right? One of the access specifiers is invisible. What's that called? Package access. Some of you have got into trouble with package access either because you're trying to use a variable or a method from a class that's in a different folder, or you put a package name up here that didn't exist at the right level of the directory. What's the next kind of access? Public. Who can access a public variable or method or class? This applies to classes as well, interestingly. Everybody. Public means public. What's the next level? Who can get at protected variables? Subclasses. And, interestingly, it's like package access, also other classes in the same folder. And finally, private. Who can get at private variables? Only the class you're in. Okay. See, you guys know all this stuff. Very little. Which means I forget, but it's something subtle. If you look at the chart in the book, they're almost identical. In fact, I, looking at the chart in the book, went, well, this is dumb, they're almost the same. What variables or methods get inherited if I have a hierarchy of classes that I create, like for assignment 3? Right. Everything that's not private, this is also known as and it's the invisible one. Default access. These are access specifiers. That's a comment. What's the other kind of comment? Can I nest comments? I have what would be the point? I have, don't ask me. You can't nest comments. So I guess there is no point. Okay, let me ask another question. How would I declare an instance variable of type double that I want available to other parts of the program not in this folder? You guys ask me, what are the questions on the test? There's one of the questions on the test. I haven't heard the answer yet. Yes, sir?
Public double.
Yeah, public double whatever. Public means it's accessible anywhere. Double is the data type. Whatever is the variable name. That is an instance variable, meaning I have to have an instance of whatever class this is in order to use it. What if I wanted it to be a class variable? I put the word static in, now it's a class variable. What's the advantage of a class variable? You can change it from wherever. What's the disadvantage of it? You can change it from wherever. There's only one, right? There's only one copy of it that's shared by all instances of that class, and also, because this is public, also by any other class that wants to use it, even if they don't make an instance of the object this is in, or the class this is in. What does that mean, what that double talk? Right, I can have public class A, and then somewhere else in my program I can refer to A dot whatever without having an instance of class A. I can just use the name of the class and the dot operator. And that's a perfectly reasonable way to get at class variable. Last night you saw a new class variable that you hadn't seen before. Some of you even used it. What was that? Roach Schmoat. Set background. Remember, I set the background of the label to color dot light gray. Color is the class, and light gray is a class variable in the color class. There are 16 colors that are represented by name. Aren't you happy to know that? Where did they get those 16 colors? From the old days, right. Yeah, like from Ataris and stuff like that, and early DOS machines that had 16 colors and big pixels the size of watermelons. Any of you guys remember Pong? Was written on it. Pong only used two colors. Yeah. Okay, what else did we learn? If I wanted to make a constructor method for this class A I have here, how would I go about doing that? What's the first word I write? Public. That's it. Okay, a constructor method, the same name as the class, the parentheses next to it, the word public in front of it so that you can create instances of that class. If you leave that word public off, you can only create instances of that class in that folder. Right? Because it's an access specifier and so on. Same with the class itself. So that's generally how you see it, so that you can use it from anywhere. Okay? What if I wanted to make a class B that used class A as a superclass? How would I do that? Extend. I'm missing something. Public class B extends A. And so on. See how easy this is? You guys know all this stuff. You've done it all. It's just assignments 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? So no more worrying about tests. You just bring your assignments 1, 2, 3, 4 with you as a reference. Bring a book. Don't do what they do in the 101 class where they have the instant messenger up on their laptop and they're chatting with. I actually watch that. They're taking the online test and they've got the instant messenger up and they cut and paste the question in and then the other person sends them the answer. And when the person that I watch do that, they got a 50%. I guess they made the call to the wrong person. I'd have done it for half as much and given them the right answer. Okay. Any questions about this? This is easy stuff. This is exactly what we've been talking about. How many public classes can I have in a .java file? As far as you know. How many? Yes, this is a clue. One. That's how we've been designing our programs. Remember, you create a file, a.java, you put class A in there. Then you, if you want a class B, you create a file called b.java, you create class B in there, and so on. So the source code in Java is all divided up into many source files. You just get used to it. These development environments usually have tools that help you follow what's where. Okay, so on to assignment 5, because you guys really want to get assignment 5 done, right? Because so many of you have done assignment 4, you're ready to get rid of this assignment 5 and get on to the fun stuff. We have done 2 parts to assignment 5 out of 4 parts. Tonight what I will talk about is connecting part 1 and part 2. So what's part 1? Yeah, we had a MyIO class, and what MyIO was good for was going to the disk drive or somewhere and read a line and return either an int or string. That's what it's good for. It also prints a prompt, but in the case of going to the disk drives we have can't read, so we don't give them a prompt. If you print a prompt, it doesn't go anywhere. Right? So that's what that class is for. The next class we created was... My frame and my frame job is to display a window and display text. And I leave it open to you as to how to display text. There are many mechanisms. I showed you two of them last night. We can add 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's all kinds of ways of displaying text in a window, including just drawing the text on the back of the window. What text are we going to display? We are going to display the text that we read from the file. Okay? So, my question now is, step three, I have to connect these two. What ways do I have to connect these two? The topic here, if you go back two nights, I did a brief discussion of communication mechanisms. We have now seen like 3 or 4 or 5 different communication mechanisms. Last night we actually saw a new one, which we will cover more extensively in assignment 6, 7, and 8. But what are the communication mechanisms that I have here between these two classes? I could extend one from the other, so I could make the MyIO class extend my frame or vice versa if I wanted. Why would I want to do that? Because it's apparently cheap and easy way to get at the stuff. Why wouldn't I want to do it? Yeah, it's like saying orange extends cat because I happen to need a cat and an orange in the same place. It might be useful in one situation, but in most situations, you want cat and orange to be in separate hierarchies. What's another way to communicate? Yes, sir? Yeah, method calling. So I can call this class methods in this class's methods. Right? So I could have a method in here that calls a method in there. And in order to do that, I have to have an instance of this class in this class, right? Otherwise, they have no connection. Or I could have an instance of this class in that class. So my question to you now is, why wouldn't I do it that way? Some of you actually will do it that way, because I don't tell you you can't do it that way. Why would I maybe not want to do it that way? I want to keep them independent, right? I might have lots of different uses for my IO. You've already used it, right, in assignment 2, 3, and 4. It's got a lot of uses all by itself. You don't want it dragging a window around with it. Same with the window. I have lots of uses for windows that may not involve anything with files, so I want to keep those classes separate. From a startup class. So the another solution is you make a third class and you make an instance of this and an instance of that in a third class and you use that third class to tie them together. That's probably a better way to do it. So in A5, I make one of those. I make one of those, and now I have available to me all of the methods and variables in my frame, which are public or a package, and I'm in the same package, and the same with my IO, all of the methods and the variables which are public or package. or as it turns out, protected for mysterious reasons that we have to ask the compiler writers. Okay? So that's what you guys will do. You'll create an instance of this, you'll create an instance of that, and now you have the variables in my frame. What variables were in my frame that might be of use to us? Only had a couple of variables. Last night, we had a label and we had a text area, and I could have created a text field and done a bunch of other stuff. But if I have a label and a text area, I have access to the label and I have access to the text area by using this myframe variable. Right? I just say mf.ta, mf.l, and I have access to those variables. Those variables, in turn, have how many methods and variables that I can use?
A lot.
That's the correct number. A lot. Label and text area are both what? Components. They're both components, and the component class has like 147 different methods. It's just you'll never learn them all, you'll never use them all. By the time you've got around to using them all, they'll have been deprecated. What does that mean? Made them obsolete, meaning that they're going to go out of fashion before long and you shouldn't be using them, you should be using whatever has not been deprecated. So some of you guys have noticed in the project properties, under a compiler, you can say show deprecations, and it will actually show you which methods give you that deprecated method error. Has anyone got that one yet? You will. That's all we're talking about, is just some old-fashioned code, probably something you borrowed from me, because as I told you, I have lots of old-fashioned code. And Java is morphing faster than I can keep up with it, so I don't even bother. Just like computers, right? How many of you guys have bought a computer and turned around the next month and they came out with one that's twice as fast and better resolution and louder sound and cheaper? And disappointing, isn't it? I'm going to show you guys the important curve so that you can put computing in perspective. They're getting exponentially faster. They're getting exponentially smaller. They're getting exponentially more capable. They're getting exponentially cheaper. So you put all four of those curves together, and what do you get? They're going to be really, really fast. We'll have no size at all, we'll do everything, and they'll be free. And you've already got that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the value of the money changes. Yeah, so it will be free. They'll give them to you at the gas station, you'll go, oh, I'd rather have the glasses, I don't want the computer. So, you see what's happening is that they are going to be invisible machines that do everything, la-di-da-di-da, you already have it, it's called your brain. There you go. So when people tell you to use your head, they're giving you good advice. So why are we here? Which is what I ask myself periodically. See, you guys think I'm kidding about that, but it's not a joke. It's really going on. And everyone in the business keeps predicting that it's going to taper off. Anyone seen any tapering off lately? No. Just imagine when you're disappointed with your 2 gigahertz machine. You've got 2 gigahertz, 2 gigabytes, you've got 3 terabytes of disk space, and you can't do anything with it because Windows XXPP has come out and used it all up. Okay, so I can say things like mf.l, that's the label. How would I set the text in the label? Set text. And remember, these methods, a lot of you put a capital W in window closing last night. There wasn't just a few of you, a lot of you. The convention is methods start with a lowercase letter. That's to help you. So you don't have to, but here's what you discovered. When you put capital W window closing, there's no error, but there's something special about that method that the operating system looks for that method, and if you didn't spell it right, it can't find it. Set text and the argument to set text. See, I'm going to send a message to the label. Which label? The label in the frame. This is called sending a message. I know we call it calling a function. It's the same thing. It takes a string as an argument. So it will put into the label whatever text you ask it. You give it a string, it'll put it in the label. Well, over here, I have a method called what? String input that returns what data type? String. How convenient. So inside this argument here, I can put MIO, that's this object, the MIO object, dot string input, which says input, which says go out to the disk drive and read a line, or it could be to the keyboard if you use the get anything class. But remember, get anything does it from the keyboard. MyIO does it from the file. Maybe we should have called it fileIO, that class. You can call it anything you want because it's your class. Say myio.stringInput, give it a pair of double quotes because I don't want a prompt because the disk drive can't read. And what happens is whatever is the next line in the file is returned from here and it's passed to the setText method of the label and the label displays it. Yes. Ah, well, if you have JBuilder, for example, you just type the method name in the opening parentheses and it will give you a list of possible overloaded arguments. Right? Remember, I did a system.out.println parentheses and it said no arguments, string, char, float, double, blah, blah, blah. It gave you a big long list. Same thing here. If you don't have a development environment, if you're just doing this on a DOS command line, which will also work, or a Unix command line, which will also work, then what you do is you look it up. So at the very first night, I said, go out and get my handout, and my handout tells you what the suggested text is. And it also says if you don't have a development environment, you will probably be wise to go out and buy a book called Java Almanac. And the Java Almanac is a book about yai thickness. Started off about 3/4 of an inch. Now it's up to about 2 inches thick. It's all the classes, all the methods, etc., all cross-referenced for Java. And it shows the class hierarchies, and it shows what's been deprecated, and on and on and on. Everything you want to know about Java in that one book. It's also in JBuilder 3. Yes? Yes, one line. It doesn't read anything. This method doesn't read anything. It accepts something. String input reads one line. Remember what string input does? It says S equals BR dot readline return S. Just one line. By the way, one thing we haven't done with our file yet is what? close it. We haven't closed our file yet. Maybe you'll want to close your file later on. Here's a very common problem that people have. If you put the buffered reader open statement, that is BR equals new buffered reader file name or new file reader file name, if you put that in the wrong place in your program, every time you call string input, it's going to open the file again, and you're going to keep getting the first line, and it's really infuriating, because you'll go, huh, no matter how many times, no matter how, whatever I do, I always get the first line. So you have to have it in a constructor or somewhere else that you won't get back to. Open it once. And if you want, have a method to close it. How would you close it? br.close. And you want to, there is no destructor method, so you want to have a method somewhere that closes the file. And call it. What would you call it? myio.close would be a good thing to call it. Then you can use that class, and you don't have to just have buffered readers. You can have other kind of readers as you get more sophisticated. For this class here, we just use this. This is enough to get us all the way to the end. Okay, so now what I've done is I've made a connection. I have sent a message to the myio object that says, please send me a string. I pass that string via the setText method to the label. The label displays it. Which label will label in my window? See how easy this is? What happens if I want to read a whole file? I can do a while. While what? There's a simple EOF test. String S, is this the same S that is the myio.s variable? No, totally different. It's in assignment 5. I can say while S equals myio.string input, double quote, close parenthesis, not equal to, no, that's a while loop. In this condition, when you get to the end of a file, a text file, it returns a null. In fact, if you get to the end of any file, it returns a null. What? Blank lines aren't blank. They have a new line on them. So that's not a null. So you're not at the end of a file. It's just a new line, all by itself. So you get a null, you get this string. That's different from a null. This string is a string object. It just doesn't have anything in it. That is no object at all. Okay? Ah, important thing. I want to show you guys that, well, first of all, not equal, that operator can't have a space in it. It's exclamation point assignment operator next to each other. If you put a space between it, you'll get a goofy error. No. No. Just like that. They reserved the word no. Okay. Because zero is an integer. It's a primitive data type. This isn't in C. In C, that would work. Doesn't work here. Because everything in Java is an object or a primitive data type. Okay, if you want to compare one string to another, don't use the logically equal to operator because they're never the same. Well, there are some instances where they're the same, but in general, they aren't the same. If S1 and S2 are two strings, then strings are carried around through your program as a reference. So you're actually comparing their addresses, which are never the same, or rarely the same. You don't want to do that. You want to compare the characters and see, is this string the same characters as that string? And the way you do that is with the equals method. S1 dot equals S2. That's how you compare strings. Don't let this bite you on the ankle. I know some of you didn't hear me say this just now, and then you're going to ask me why it doesn't work upstairs. That's the right way to compare strings. Yeah, you can plus them, as you say, but you can't logically equal them. Yeah. That actually isn't the addition operator, that is the concatenation operator. So the compiler looks and says, is an object a string, and is that a string, or something that can be, pardon the term, stringified? Is that a real word? It is in here. There's special vocabulary in there. So you can stringify an integer, for example, right? The official Java method is toString. Now you're already seeing some methods that you have seen in your list of methods when you go to look at your A5 objects or your A4 objects or what have you. Right? Equals and toString are both part of what class? Object. You get them both for free from object, and then what your responsibility is to overload these. I'll show you about that later on. So that you can do things like you could say, is this student equal to that student? Right? You could convert a student's name into a long string, which is the last name and the first name and the middle initial and with a comma and so on, by giving a student a toString method and overloading the one that comes with the object class. Yes, Noel?
How do we need to get back on the name? So if I want to put the string in a different way, you have two lines in the file. I don't want to put it in one
string. Right. Well, what happens is every time you read line, you get one line of text from the file. And then if you want it to have a new line in between it, you append a new line. But you can't put new lines in text fields or labels. You can put new lines in text areas. I'll show you that when I do a demo. Okay, so this is pretty easy code. Okay? That is part 3 of 4. So what's going to be the hard part of this assignment? I've already shown you part 1, shown you part 2, shown you part 3, but I can't show you part 4. Why? No buttons. That's assignment 6. Well, I could throw a button in this one just for fun, but that's assignment 6. We'll get buttons. The fourth part of the assignment, and frankly the most important part of the assignment, is you have to integrate assignment 5 with your previous assignments. So, what you're going to do is you're going to have text in your text file which is related somehow to your subclass from assignment 3. There's going to be more than one of them, which is the array of subclass objects from assignment 4. And what you're going to do is you are in this loop here, or somewhere like it, going to create objects of the subclass type and then display the data about them in the window. So in my case, I have a student subclass. So in my data file, I can have how many students I have, and that would be the first thing I would read. That's assignment 4, but instead of the keyboard, it's in the file. I make the array of students. Then I read their names, as I did in assignment 4 with the Get Anything class, only now I'll be doing the MyIO class. I'll read their names, then I'll make a new student, and then I'll call the student method for displaying the name and use it to set some text somewhere, in a text field, in a label, in a, on the back, right there on the back of the window. Somehow, get the data about the student to show up in the window. Get it? And because you all have different assignment 3s, you will all do it in your own way. What I'll do is I'll show you an example of how I would do it for my program, and then let you guys worry about your program. And if you don't have that challenge, what would be the difficulty of assignment 5? Yeah? Any way you want. I don't care how you do it. Any way you want. Then we'll go on, you know, and maybe some of you will want to put pictures or sounds or something later on when we start using buttons and things. Yeah?
Can we move from the keyboard directly to the file?
Well, you can't read to the file. You have to read from the keyboard and write to the file. So the easiest way to get stuff into the file is just use WordPad or something. Type it in. Yes? No, you're just going, oh my gosh, how am I going to get out of this one? Yes? No, remember in assignment 4, you read things from the keyboard and you just displayed it on the console, if you displayed it at all. Some people just said, well, I created the object, I'm happy. You can't see it anyway, you're just looking at a piece of paper, so I'm not going to bother printing it up. Talk about no curiosity. Well, let's be clear, if I show you... Okay, after the break. That's exactly what I was going to say. Thank you. So there's two of us have voted for a break so far. Okay, well, I will write assignment 5. Starting with where we left off last night, I will replace the code. Remember how I just deleted some code and I said, we can put it back later. I'll put it back. Then we'll import assignment 3. And we will go ahead and make some students. See you guys soon. Hope it's still warm out there. The fine can't be changed. It also, at the end of the semester, finally means